Hey guys, jumping in real quick to tell you about the sponsor for this week's episode, the Satchel Podcast Player. If you like podcasts, you're going to want to check this out. There's no third-party ads, no on-screen ads, nothing like that. It's a great way to get connected with the content that you're listening to. You can even tweet directly into the podcast that you're listening to and even send a few dollars along to the podcast. For example, right now, if you like listening to Flash TV Talk, you could send us like, I don't know, $2, $3, $10, however much you feel like we're worth. You can do that directly in the Satchel Podcast Player. It's a great player. You got to check it out. If you're a podcaster, you can register your podcast at satchelplayer.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Belle.
Belle, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm a little under the weather, but other than that, I'm excited to talk some Flash, man.
Yeah, on this podcast, you're not under the weather. You're under the weather wizard, sir.
Oh, yeah. Weather wizard came to my house and like hit me in the nose with his weather stick, and it hurt real bad. And then I woke up and I was sick. It was weird.
That'll work. All right, man. Let me tell you what else is going to work. Dude, we are finally back from a ridiculous hiatus. I mean, it's not that ridiculous. Hiatuses come, hiatuses go. Thankfully, we have nothing but new episodes every single week until the end of the series. I could not be more happy about that, man, because these hiatuses are throwing me off.
Well, right, because I don't think they did this last year. Because like, so we had a hiatus. We came back for one episode and then another hiatus.
Yeah, it kind of...
That didn't happen last year, did it?
It may have. Last year was so long ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
The funny thing is, I mean, not even funny. I mean, last episode that we had was such a monumental one with what they did with time travel, and we got the return, at least briefly, of the Eobard Thawne of season one. It was massive things were going on, and also massive setups for some things that would go on into this episode. And man, I got to tell you, I don't think I can hold back anymore. Is there anything, stuff that we need to get out of the way? Any news we need to put out there or anything like that?
Man, I got nothing.
Okay, all right. Let's just go ahead and jump into it.
The Rundown.
Episode 18 of Season 2, Versus Zoom, directed by Steven Pleszyninski and story by
Joe Paraccio and David Cobb.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, years earlier on Earth 2, a young Hunter Zolomon watches as his father murders his mother and is subsequently sent to the local orphanage. In present day, Barry tests the tachyon accelerator and is able to enhance his speed four times greater than normal. Barry decides to reopen a breach back to Earth 2, and he believes that Sisko's powers are the key to opening the portals. Meanwhile, Wells recounts how the particle accelerator explosion on his Earth created Zoom, an adult Zolomon, a convicted serial killer who was receiving electroconvulsive therapy during the explosion. Sisko opens a breach and Zoom immediately comes through, chasing Barry back to Star Labs. There, Barry uses images of Zoom's parents as a distraction to trap him, but Zoom manages to escape. Zoom kidnaps Wally and demands Barry's speed in exchange for Wally's life. Barry agrees, so Wells siphons all of the speed force, leaving Barry human. Zoom injects the speed force, and with his enhanced speed, he kidnaps Caitlin before escaping.
All right, so last episode, they did so much that I loved. I mean, just so much that I loved. This episode, they did a lot of things that really... all right, so right off the bat, we're introduced to the origin story for Hunter Zolomon of Earth 2. Very Kingpin-esque, if you watched Daredevil Season 1. I got a lot of vibes from that. And, I mean, it's a harsh kind of a twist on the Barry origin story in terms of kind of the death of the parent... in front of him. I don't know exactly how to say this, but I found the use of the Jay Garrick costume, or at least, the components of the Jay Garrick costume being used in this way, it did not sit well with me.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Because, he comes back from the war, and that was his war costume, which was Jay Garrick's inspiration for the Flash outfit.
Yeah, and I get that. And I mean, there's even potential for them to use, like, the Jay Garrick, and we'll talk about whether or not there's a Jay Garrick, but the Jay Garrick of Earth 2, perhaps his father also wore the exact same uniform and was the basis for his costume, for sure. I mean, that's that may very well be the case. The problem is that this creative team, they've done something very interesting with Zoom and kind of how they've tied him to Jay Garrick and You know, the these two characters being theoretically anyway, or at least we're kind of being led to believe that these two characters are one and the same. And so, you know, regardless of whether or not that ends up being the case, or even regardless of whether or not you believe that that's going to end up being the case, we're still getting, you know, somebody, I'll put it this way, somebody who doesn't know the comics, right? Somebody who isn't particularly even all that versed about kind of the lore of the comics and kind of where these characters are come from. If somebody's sitting down to this television show and this is their first introduction to The Flash, and they don't, they're, you know, let's say they're not even, let's say they don't listen to this podcast. So they don't even kind of think about these characters with kind of the history that, that we're able to kind of think through on this show. Their first introduction to Jay Garrick, like, costume and the earliest point in this timeline is of an abusive man beating and then murdering his wife in front of his son. And that's the first historic use of that costume for the viewer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think the writers know that the audience are going to look at that and say, well, why would this hero take inspiration from that? Like, that's weird.
Well, right. I get that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't sit well with me. I don't know if I can even really fully identify it, but it just I could buy this if we got the Jay Garrick origin story prior to seeing this, especially if you set up the fact that Zoom is the nemesis of Jay Garrick and Jay Garrick ends up wearing the same outfit that, you know, Zoom's abusive father wears. Like, there's a kind of an interesting tie there. But the problem is that we're getting the reverse of that, right? We're getting the villain's origin story with that costume in play in that way, so that by the time we see Jay, the real Jay, wearing that costume, he's now wearing the costume of this abusive father figure of you know, his villain.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I definitely see what you're saying. But what I think they could have done was, because he was a soldier, right? Maybe show when they go to Earth 2 beforehand, mm-hmm. maybe show the soldier's outfit at some other point, like hanging in a museum or whatever. You know, just show it to establish it there, that this is just a, you know, this is the common, you know, standard uniform for this, you know, Star City or whatever Earth 2 country. And
right.
Yeah, and establish it there, because right now, yeah, all we have is that, you know, Zoom's dad, who was a crazy person, is wearing this. And so that's kind of, yeah, it's kind of weird. I see where you're coming from, but I think it might have been a little bit better to introduce that costume in a less malevolent way.
And you know, I you know, Lex Mercury in the chat here saying, you know, that yes, from a legacy perspective, but, you know, this is their take on the story. Admittedly, and that's fine. You know, I have no problem with them taking licenses. He even makes reference to Vibe being a joke in the comics, but this entire new generation is going to see him specifically as, you know, this lifelong friend to Barry Allen. And that's fine. What they're doing is they're taking a character from the comics and making it cooler. Here they're taking a costume and corrupting it, almost perverting it in the way that it's being used. And so, you know, I don't know. It's a personal thing maybe, but at the same time, I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me. Now, I don't think we'll get into it as we go throughout this episode. I think that we were told a lot of lies this episode. I think that there's a lot of manipulation going on in the midst of all this. And so I'm, you know, I don't know that we're being heavily lied to. We're either being heavily lied to now or earlier, but I think we're being heavily lied to now.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's weird to me to think that that Zoom would wear a black version of Barry's suit and not a black version of Jay's suit.
Yeah, well, but it's Earth 2, Earth 1, right? So different Earths are similar, but just weird.
But Zoom is from Earth 2.
He's definitely from Earth 2.
So,
like, that was, you know, the great thing is we did, despite the fact that I feel like we got a lot of lies thrown at us this episode, we also got a lot of confirmations this episode. So a big one, yes, Zoom is definitively from Earth 2. He is definitively Hunter Zolomon. Hunter Zolomon is definitively a villain of Earth 2. We even got a chance to see him being created, right, during the a particle explosion that occurred underground on Earth at Earth 2. So, he is definitely there. We also got, finally, the crossover occurred this episode, the Supergirl Flash crossover. It was literally blink and you missed it.
Like, what crossover? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, no one mentioned the fact that Barry traveled to another world and met other superheroes.
I'm sorry. I actually kind of loved that. I loved it that they kind of handled it that way. Is that bad?
I don't know. Like, I was just kind of hoping to be like, ah, that was really neat. Like, what happened? It's a long story. And then drop it.
No,
right?
He didn't even do that. He's just like, how long was I gone for? Like, he just popped over to Narnia and back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seemed.
And you weren't there, and you weren't there, and you weren't there.
It just, because, you know, he's sitting there talking about how he wants to open breaches up to these other worlds, and he's using Cisco, mm-hmm. or to Earth 2, and he's using Cisco for that, when he just did it himself.
He just did it himself, but he has no control over it. The idea is that Cisco would theoretically have control over it. Like, he could use it, like, he could use the tachyons and pop on over to, you know, Earth 4, Earth 5, Earth 6, an Earth where everybody's on fire, an Earth where the Speed Force doesn't exist. You know, there's a lot of potential, you know, mishaps just kind of doing it all, going in blind, so to speak.
Yeah.
Whereas Cisco, you know, because Reverb had so much power and was able to do, had such control over the vibrations between the different Earths, theoretically, Cisco has that power too. You know, his father had it, his sister has it.
You have it.
You have that power too. Cisco, man, feeling the force this this episode.
The Star Wars references were strong with this one.
Yeah, no, I loved it, man. You know, I was kind of surprised they went full on Star Wars with the Anakin Skywalker. I do think Anakin Skywalker used a bit more product in his hair than Cisco does. So I don't know that he's fully ready to go down the dark side. But
he also dislikes sand more. Right. Cisco does.
Right, right. There's no Padme. There's no the sand. It's rough. It gets everywhere. Yeah, there's none of that.
Was that Marlon Brando as Anakin Skywalker?
The
sand. It's rough. It gets everywhere.
Do you spend time with your sand on your family? Don't do it. Don't turn to the dark side.
Marlon Brando as a Sith Lord.
On this, the day of my daughter's beach party.
Marlon Brando, if rest in peace. If Marlon Brando was still with us, he would have been an awesome Padme's father.
Like, oh, sure, of course.
Come here, son. Come here. You wanna marry my daughter on this, the day of my daughter's wedding? That would be great.
You wanna marry my daughter on the day of my daughter's wedding?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to kill you for that one.
Pass the cannoli. All right. Seriously, though. Cisco stepping it up. He does not want to turn to the dark side, but they do convince him that he needs to kind of step into. I thought that Barry was actually putting a ton of pressure on him.
Yeah, he seemed very manipulative.
Well, not manipulative, but I mean, he was throwing him into the deep end. You know, it's like, oh, this other, you can do it. So now go rip open a hole in space-time to another Earth right now, right here.
Well, yeah, but he's doing this whole thing where he's like, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about the fact that power corrupts people and blah, 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 because, you know, you have our friends and stuff and, you know, we're all friends together, so we won't let you turn to the dark side. But if you do, I'll just, you know, throw you in a prison illegally for the rest of your life.
No, we didn't say that, nor do I think that was the tone.
I know.
You are right, though, that Cisco does give this the consideration that probably more metahumans should really do. I mean, he's very much aware of the weight that is being placed on him and, you know, the impact that his doppelganger had. You know, it's funny because his evolution here, originally he didn't want to do this because he was worried about, you know, the fact that they lock up so many metahumans. Now his worst fears in that way have been fully realized on Earth 2, and he's seen what he can become. The fact that he is processing it through such a Star Wars lens is great, but it makes it all the much better when he processes it through the correct lens. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, he gets some souped up Marky Marks. Yeah, so he does get we get a return of the Cisco Marky Marks, which is so great to see. Loving it, loving that look. And it's interesting. He gets him on, he gets ready. It looking like he's going to open the portal. His power set, by the way, looks freaking awesome.
Oh gosh, the glowy hand?
Yeah.
That was awesome looking. I like that. I like that effect a lot.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing our Cisco evolve into the vibe that he can become. You know, I think that what we got on Earth 2 was kind of an interesting, weird take on vibe. You know, I mean, it was fine for what it was, but I am looking forward to our vibe, right? I don't think when he fully becomes who he's going to be, be it on the good side. I think he's going to have a unique look. I think his power set's going to look very differently. And so I look forward to seeing his continued evolution here.
Oh yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be vibe-tastic.
yes, he is the vibe that we deserve. You know, so he can't do it alone, of course. He is encouraged by Barry, which is great, but ultimately it's Wells that is able to get him along. Wells is constantly pushing this agenda of, we don't need to go back to Earth 2. Why are we opening up these doors? He finally gives a little bit more of exposition as to why he wants to stay on Earth 1, and that is, of course, his daughter is MIA. She left two episodes, I think, ago. You know, these hiatuses are throwing me off. And so he's interested in figuring out where she is, but he's also interested in helping the team and not bailing on them. You know, there's still some question. Is Wells good? Is Wells evil? And I say that he is morally gray with a lighter shade, especially given that he goes to Joe for some fatherly advice.
Yeah, you know, it's Harrison is an interesting character, especially in this episode, because he is the only one who brings up that point of, all of you have loved ones, and Zoom is very good at taking those away from you.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it's weird that he's the only one talking about that, right?
Well, yeah,
because like Joe's getting really close to Wally, you know, Barry has Iris and Joe, you know, and Cisco and Caitlin. Like, Barry has all of these people, right?
Yeah, but for Wally notwithstanding, they're all in it. You know, and let's talk about Wally not being in it, because this episode, the fact that Wally was the carrot, right, that he was what Zoom would ultimately go after, is a good moment in terms of him being an emotional pull for everybody involved. We got that great dinner scene with them eating pizza and Wally coming in, pseudo asking to move in, but not really asking to move in. You know, I saw Joe getting a lot of flack on Twitter being like, come on, Joe, you don't realize that, you know, that he's trying to get close. And
I didn't pick up on it.
You know, I kind of picked up on it, but I also kind of got where Joe was coming from with, it's like, you know, yeah, at this stage in his life, none of his kids are like wanting to spend time with him. Everybody wants.
Like that was exactly my viewpoint on it. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll help you out. I'll float you some money. Cause I mean, you know, you're an adult now and I'm, you know, your father, but we've been estranged for so long and, you know, I'll let you have your space, but I don't know. I'm just not very perceptive, I guess. So
someone should tell Joe, a man that don't spend time with his family is no kind of man.
Thank you, Marlon.
Very welcome.
he ultimately, of course, does get the realization thanks to Barry. You know, I'm loving Wally getting more tied in. I actually kind of felt like that scene where they parted ways before it was all kind of worked through was somewhat heartbreaking. Just because I want. You know, Joe wants them to have he wants them to have a relationship, right? You can see it in his eyes. You know, even when Wally was saying he was going to leave, Joe was kind of like, don't leave, please. I want you to love me. You know, like I just felt for it, man. Like they've done such an interesting thing with making Joe, who has been such a powerful character in terms of being, you know, this super dad in the midst of all of these, you know, these super and fantastic things that are going around. He really has this ability to be this rock that is really able to be the place where Barry, the superhero, feels protected, right? He feels at home and he feels comforted. And so Joe is this super dad figure that seems so unshakable. And yet this season, with what they've done with Wally specifically, they've made Joe vulnerable. And they've made him at this place where, you know, he's still that super dad. He's so much a super dad that freaking, you know, Wells is coming to him for dad advice. But at the same time, he does have this vulnerability. And the fact that, you know, Zoom exploits this, not because Barry is connected to Wally, but because Joe is connected to Wally. He even says very specifically, somebody that the Flash cares about you. And so, you know, that connection is really what makes Wally such an interesting grab for Zoom. Here's the thing, though. When it's all going down, everybody's there to, like, get Wally back. Freaking Iris she's, like, holding a gun at Zoom, telling Wally to run. And I'd be like, wait, why are you here, A? B, where'd you get that gun, reporter? And C, why am I running and you're staying back? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, Wally should have, like, look around the room for 2 seconds and be like, and the only person who's not here is Barry. The Flash kind of look him the same size, same type. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you know, they kind of sort of make it at least seem like Wally is kind of like, why is Barry so weird, like, all the time, right? And so I kind of hope when it's one of those, you know, and it gets to down to the point where, you know, we're going to have to tell Wally who I am, that Wally is like, yeah, of course. I mean, of course you're the Flash.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Well,
could you have been any more obvious?
Could it be any more obvious? Yeah, I think we're looking at either next episode or the next, Wally piecing it together. Do you think
Jay will tell him, the man in the iron mask?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more of a, well, here's the thing. I guess we are about to get that hero trope of the hero losing his powers and being human, so that all the people that would normally suspect that he's the hero can see him as a human. So theoretically, Wally could go in next episode thinking that Barry is the Flash based on, you know, the events of this episode. But since next episode, Barry is going to be very much not the Flash, then maybe that's going to, you know,
but Wally,
throw him off again.
I'm assuming, is still going to be in prison next episode.
They got him back at the end of this episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because they traded the speed. Yeah, that's right.
They traded the Speed Force. And I'm sitting here like,
can we talk about that for a second?
That's not how the Speed Force works.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
I posted a picture of the Han Solo. That's not how the Force works. Because that's what I was like, okay, yeah, sure. But you know what? It's OMG science. They figured out, if anybody could figure out a way how to put the Speed Force,
like, disconnect someone from the Speed Force, yeah, harvest it, and then give it to somebody else.
And put it in a freaking vial and inject it in somebody. I'll give you, look, if anybody can figure it out, it's Harrison Wells. So, you know.
But I mean, like, not only that, not only just the whole weirdness of the situation, but the fact that Barry was like, yeah, sure, I'll
no,
you know,
it wasn't like that, man. It was a heavy decision.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is like, it feels like it was the wrong decision immediately, because you're the right. only person who can stop this guy. And you're giving him your speed to save one person, and now he has the ability. No one can stop him, and you're essentially just, like, writing off the lives of everyone.
He's got the tachyons.
So what I'm hoping they're going to do with this is that this is some sort of elaborate plan that Wells and Barry and Team Flash and everybody came up with, you know, because otherwise, to me, it just seems like, that's just not a good idea. Like, that's the worst idea you could possibly do. Because now,
no, you're
like,
right.
The only reason that Barry wasn't killed was because Zoom kind of had a thing for Caitlin. Otherwise, Barry's dead. Like, he'd have been dead.
Maybe.
And everybody in that room would have been dead. Once Barry doesn't have his speed, what's stopping Zoom from just not giving them Wally? Okay, cool. Thanks for your speed. But I'm a villain. I'm a serial murderer. Why should I, you know, live by an honor code or something?
So here's what I think is going to happen. You're right. It was very much, it did seem somewhat of an impulse decision on Barry's,
terrible decision.
Impulse. But well, here's the thing though. For one thing, that's not how the Speed Force works. You can't just,
that's not how this works.
You can't just extract it from somebody. So what I'm thinking is that they extracted the access to the Speed Force that he had at that moment. Right. So that I think that over time he'll get it back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like now he's starting from ground zero as opposed to,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Like, I mean, he's 4 times faster than he's ever been, and now he's 0 times faster than he's ever been, and he's gonna have to build back up to that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, yeah, maybe. I think that I don't admittedly know exactly what it's gonna be, but I do think that he is going to get access to the Speed Force on his own. I think that he already, he's tapped in, right? They can't disconnect him from the Speed Force. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that he's going to be able to. So I think that what's going to happen is that he's either going to reconnect to it, or it's going to fuel him up over time. One way or the other, that's a rechargeable battery for Zoom. Zoom gets more out of Barry being alive so that he can do this again.
But Zoom doesn't know that at this point.
Doesn't he?
I don't think he does, because he was seconds away from killing Barry at the end of this episode.
Interesting. I don't know, man.
Like that's all.
He's keeping Jay alive.
Yeah, and I really don't know why.
Because I think same reason.
But if he can siphon off Jay, why does he want to siphon off Barry?
He can't siphon off Jay without Wells. Wells is on Earth 1.
Yeah, but if he has the Man in the Iron Mask,
right.
Jay,
right,
and he has Jesse, why not just bring him to his lair and be like, give me all this dude's Speed Force and I'll give you your daughter back?
I think that he did. I think that the Jay... All right, so I think that Jay's more of a backup plan. I think
Jay was in the same kind of speedster tank that that Barry was.
We got all right. So let's go ahead and acknowledge this. So you and I are both in agreement that Jay is the Man in the Iron Mask is Jay Garrick of Earth 2,
and it's Hunter Zolomon's twin.
And it's Hunter Zolomon's twin,
who separated at birth.
And that Jay Garrick is the Flash of Earth 2.
Yes, yes. Okay. And that at some point, Zoom kidnapped him and took over for him, like he said, because he liked to emulate him because he loved to give people hope and then strip it away from them.
Right. Well, and so, but that's the thing. I think that's where Zoom was lying to us. I think he was talking about, I think it's kind of a dual thing. I don't think that this idea that Zoom and Jay have always been the same person, right? I think he's lying about that. I think, you know, that whole, I like dressing up as a hero. I think maybe that's true for his time on Earth 1. I don't think that on Earth 2, he was Jay Garrick / The Flash. I don't believe that. And I'll tell you exactly why. We saw, now admittedly, it was in a flashback explained to us by you know, Zoom under the portrayal of Jay Garrick. We saw on screen the two of them fighting each other, right?
Yes.
So if we, and in my mind, if we see it, it's canonical, regardless of who's telling the story. So yes. With that being the case, we know, and on top of that, of course, the Man in the Iron Mask is in the glass and he taps out Jay, right? So he taps out Jay. So I'm the Man in the Iron Mask is Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick was the Flash of Earth 2. And I stand by the twin theory.
Yeah.
So all right. So from that standpoint, because I mean, again, we were led to believe. I think that this episode, Zoom in particular, was trying to lead us to believe that
he was always the Flash.
That he was always the Flash of Earth 2.
I don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true either. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to put that out there because some people might be, oh, guys, you missed it. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I still think that Hunter Zolomon is Jay Garrick's twin on Earth 1 and Earth 2. Because I don't think he kidnapped anybody from Earth 1 now, though. The whole time remnant thing, I think he killed an earlier version of him.
Okay. Good thought. Let's hold that thought for a second. We talked about Barry. We talked about Cisco. We talked about Wells. We talked about Joe. Talked a little bit about Iris pulling the gun. We got to mention that Iris totally burned J. Jonah Java.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yep. Coffee Boy got burned.
Which, you know, I'm glad that happened. I really am glad that happened because... I'm tired of this like destiny fighting kind of thing. Like I don't mind it.
There was some back and forth on Facebook this week or over the last few weeks about this whole quote unquote forced relationship between her and her boss. And while, you know, I obviously see a mountain of paperwork and a lawsuit that comes with their work relationship being what it is. I don't mind, you know, there are people that come in your life before you end up with the one you're with. I mean, you know, I made the comparison on Facebook to Karen and Roy from The Office, which were the love foils for the Jim and Pam, you know, relationship before they finally got together. And those were good, solid relationships. Well, I mean, Roy was terrible, but Karen was a good, solid relationship. Yeah.
But the difference there is that Pam has no idea that she's going to end up with Jim.
Yes, she does. Come on. I mean, she hasn't seen them in the future.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't have proof.
Right,
fair enough. She might have an inkling. She might have an idea. She might have a feeling. But she doesn't have definitive freaking proof. Not only that in their future they get together, but on a different universe, they also get married.
Yeah, but remember, screw the future.
Right, but what I'm saying is this. Like, it's I don't want Barry and Iris to be one of these things that turns into Alicity.
No, well, that's impossible, and I can tell you why that's impossible.
I just don't want them to drag this out, and then eventually in like season 8, they're finally going to get married. I don't want that to happen. I think there's stories that can be told with them being together, and I just, you know, I
let me stop you right there. This is not Felicity. This is not Alicity. And Alicity was a fine triangle for the first couple of seasons, but the difference is that Felicity and Oliver were never destined to be together. That was by fan demand. That's not in the comics. They even killed off, if anything, the Felicity potential character, I suppose, here would be Caitlin, which I'm really glad they decided not to go down that route. I mean, a lot of people ship them, and that's perfectly fine if they wanted to go that route. But, you know, they don't have the chemistry that Iris and Barry have. On freaking Arrow, they killed off, you know, his quote-unquote density.
You are my density. Destiny.
They killed off the Black Canary, which is, you know, Oliver Queen and Dinah Lance. They are kind of the primary love interest in the comics. Now, they don't have the same, you know, heavy connection, destiny related connection, you know, Speed Force type connection that an Iris and a Barry are going to have. But at the same time, that's where the source material goes. So this, she's not Felicity. She couldn't be.
I'm not saying she is Felicity. What I'm saying is I don't want them to turn this into like this will they, won't they kind of thing.
But that's the thing. It's not. We already know they will. So we can kind of sit back and relax and enjoy. And I think there's kind of to me, it's almost refreshing. We know they're going to get together. So, you know, we can all kind of sit back, relax, enjoy our lives. And when it happens, it's going to happen.
But any relationship that Iris gets in, any love interest that Iris has, is I instantly don't care about because I know it's not going to matter.
Well, but no, and that's and neither does she. That's what she's getting at, man. She's recognizing that.
Like I'm glad. Like that. That's why I was really happy when I saw that. Like because I did not want that to happen, and I was worried it was going to because like it's real hard for me to be invested in, you know, her love interest like I was with Eddie. Because they did a good job with Eddie.
No, they didn't. And like I didn't like Eddie.
I don't know. I thought Eddie.
Eddie
was
almost erased the entire universe. Don't you dare start talking about it.
But what I'm saying is like, I just didn't want there to be this like will they won't they and like all these new love interests for Iris. I just want them to go ahead and just, you know, put them together and then tell some interesting virus stories.
I don't need them to be together right now. I'm fine with them getting together later. I will say this though. I like the more her being involved with the team. You know, like they there was an off comment that I think Caitlin made about like, oh, yeah, we could always use an extra pair of hands. I'm like, no. Iris, she's not supposed to be just an extra pair of hands. Like she needs to be kind of more involved. You know, we talked about her being a kind of a solid member of this team as kind of not just a moral support, but almost kind of like a morale leader who can kind of rally the team when the team needs rallying. And so, you know, I just want her to spend more time with the team, regardless of what relationships are going on. So,
but because that's the thing. I don't want her pulled off on side stories about her new crush or whatever. Like, I want her part of the team. I want her, you know, kicking butt and taking names because that's the Iris that I liked.
All right. Fair enough. Anybody else? Any before we jump into speedster speculation, anything else we should talk about?
Where the heck is Henry Allen?
Oh, we saw him in a flashback.
Yeah, I suppose we did.
He's landing Marlins off the coast of such and such place.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. Like the end of this episode, Barry's going to get a phone call. It's like, oh, hey, Barry, it's your dad. How you doing? What you been up to? Oh, nothing. You know, just this, you know, interdimensional bad guy came and it was pretty intense. And so, oh, yeah, that's great, Barry. But I was catching fish, man. It was really cool.
Like you should have seen it.
Oh, he was this big as he, you know, stretches his arms really wide.
I just want Barry to run like just one weekend, just to run out and go fishing with his dad. Just want to see that happen from time to time.
Run to Keystone, pick up a pizza pie, and then like go and fish.
You could literally do that in like 2 seconds. Literally in 2 seconds you could do that. No, he'll be back. He'll definitely be back. All right, we did get a lot of Hunter Zolomon moments. We got a lot of explanation and exposition. We got, you know, this impact of who his parents were. We got the chance to see him become Hunter Zolomon. We got to see somehow Cisco pulled up stock photos of his parents. That was odd. But maybe
doppelgangers.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think about
that. That's my guess is that they use the doppelgangers photos.
Well played, sir. I did not think about that. but there is the question of this explanation for the second Hunter Zolomon. Which you've already made reference to, this time remnant. In fact, Hunter Zolomon says specifically a time remnant is what we saw dying. Cisco even says, like, Eobard Thawne. So here's a little speedster speculation for you.
Speedster speculation.
Is Hunter Zolomon lying Let's be honest. We know he's lying. Is he lying about the time remnant?
So, like, because he says, like, it was a younger self, though, right?
It was from earlier in the timeline. That's what he said.
So how does he not, is it the same? Yeah, okay. So then he kills his earlier self. But that's the thing, though. It's different from Reverse Flash, because Reverse Flash,
they can't kill the time remnant of Reverse Flash without impacting the timeline. In fact, there was even that moment, right, where changing something in the Reverse Flash's personal timeline started altering the present.
Yeah, so they...
Now, that's a unique case. We've talked about it. That's a unique case, but still.
But that's the thing, though. Like, the Reverse Flash that died, or they got erased from existence or whatever, that was the most powerful, I guess you could say. Like, the one furthest in the future.
The talking about Eobard, or are you talking about Zoom?
Eobard. Right. So the Eobard that was erased from existence was the one that was furthest in the future. The ones that we saw this season were all earlier, right?
Right. Okay, keep going.
If Zoom killed an earlier time remnant
of himself,
that seems like the opposite, right? Because that would be the most powerful, most future version of Zoom killing an earlier version of himself, which you would think would remove him, right?
Right. So yeah, and that's this. So this is where things get a little dirty. And so there's a question. Either I'll put it this way. All right. So let's do the math. If he was to go back in time and kill himself back in time, it would erase himself from time. If it works for your ancestor, it sure as heck better work for you as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's not what he did. He took himself from the past, brought himself from the past to the present, and then killed his past self in the present.
But see, that wouldn't make sense, because at some point the past self would have to go back in time and experience everything and become the future Zoom.
Right, exactly. So it creates... It's paradoxical, and it doesn't go along with our understanding of time travel that we've come to know thus far in this show.
Now, so he's lying. He has to be.
Here's the thing. This is where I'm a little, I think he's lying.
Do you think that perhaps,
but this is the problem. Sisko says, like, Eobard Thawne. And I feel like if Sisko says it, there's almost kind of like this, like, sure, that fits in the science. And we're like, no, Sisko, it actually doesn't. Think about it. So I don't know if it's more of a... I don't know. I hesitate to say kind of screw up here. He's got to be lying.
Because I'm thinking that perhaps... Because if we're going with the twin theory, that means there's four of them.
I don't think... I've never thought there was four of them. I thought there was three of them. Because I thought that the Jay Garrick of Earth 1 died in childbirth. Caitlin looked for a Jay Garrick and she couldn't find a Jay Garrick. Remember?
Yeah, but that could be because that Jay Garrick is the one... Well, I mean, maybe he got him addicted to Velocity... Maybe he pulled him into Earth 2, got him addicted to Velocity 9, and then killed him. And so you have on Earth 2... So there is a dude on Earth 1 who looks like Jay Garrick.
Yes.
There is a dead dude that looks like Jay Garrick, a guy with a mask on his face that's probably Jay Garrick, and then you have Zoom.
Oh,
all
no.
On Earth 2.
That's not what I believe, but if that's what floats your boat, go for it. It's a free country.
That's what I'm thinking. So, like, what I'm starting to think is that the dude sitting on the park bench that Zoom shows Caitlin.
Hang on.
Is Jay Garrick.
We had that theory a while back. That perhaps that was, you know, that was Jay Garrick. And at one point we're like, well, maybe it's Jay Garrick of Earth 2 and he's got amnesia. And so, you know, we've been all up and down trying to figure out this puzzle piece. And I feel like we've thrown out some really good theories, but if I'll put it like this, either Zoom is lying or they're changing the rules.
Changing the rules in C2, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't change the rules. So he's got to be lying. I think he's lying. Right?
Or maybe...
Hang
could
on.
The man in the iron mask be, like, old? Jay Garrick, and that this is a Jay Garrick.
We have a deal.
One day, I'm gonna knock that smug expression clean off your face.
We all hate you.
So this was your plan all along, huh?
Ever since the skies parted and showed me another world with another speedster. Once I saw you, came here, figured out what I had to do.
How are you still alive? We saw you die.
You did.
So what was that? Speed Mirage?
Speed Mirage? No. Even I'm not that fast.
All right, stop. That run right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry's that fast, though.
No, but yeah, Barry's that fast, and not only is Barry that, well, I don't think we've ever seen Barry do a speed mirage.
I thought he did do a speed
mirage. Nah, I don't think we've ever seen it, but I will say this. You're going to tell me you're not fast enough to do a speed mirage, but you're fast enough to run through, to break the time barrier? That's off to me. That seems like almost a clue. Hang on, let's continue on here.
Yeah.
I knew that I couldn't be on two Earths at the same time.
Called that.
So I went back in time and met another version of myself.
Your time remnant. Made the reverse flash.
See, so while he's saying it, he has this kind of look on his face like he might be making it up as he's going along. Although there is kind of a question of why he would even want to make up a lie. Maybe to keep them off the trail of, you know, the Jay Garrick twin situation. But the nod that Sisko gives, like, your time remnant, like the reverse flash. Like, he's giving this almost like nod of approval, like, okay, this fits.
Yeah, but one thing here, DC Jenkins 1 in the chat brings up a very, very good point. They say not fast enough for a speed mirage through the breaches. Yes, that, okay, I'll concede that. That makes a lot more sense. It'd be okay. It's one thing to do it on the same Earth, it's another thing to make a speed mirage through the breach. Yeah.
That good
yeah. Excellent. Very, very, very good call there.
Well played.
DC Jenkins.
I also knew that the only way to make Barry become faster was if you all witnessed your old pal Jay die.
When did you decide to do that?
Oh, once you closed all the breaches, went to Earth 2. Believe me, getting my time remnant to agree to me murdering him took a bit of convincing. But once he saw the genius in my plan, he was all for it.
So I'm confused, though.
Maybe when
Sisko says time remnant like the reverse flash, what is he referring to? Is he referring to Eobard that came back this season?
Yeah, younger Eobard. Not H.G. Wells, but or H.G. Eobard. Not H.G. Eobard, but blonde Eobard. Eobland.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about. You know, here's the thing. All right, A, he's lying. B, maybe it would make more sense if he was the him from earlier in the timeline that killed his future self. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see that's the thing. That's my point, is that it doesn't make any sense for future Zoom to come and kill his past self, because that ruins everything. It would have to be past Zoom agreeing to kill future Zoom.
You know, sometimes I wonder if people just stop listening at this stage in the podcast. Because, I mean, I know that, like, no, I'm serious. Like, this is, like, let's be honest, this is one of our favorite parts of the show, is dissecting time travel. But I wonder if we just completely, if people just completely tune out and be like, all right, I'm going to go and, you know, listen to something else. I don't know. All right, so here's the question. Do you think, so are you going with he's lying?
So, well, yeah, well, what we have? We have three options here. He's lying.
He's lying.
The Zoom that we see now is actually the early Zoom who killed the future Zoom.
Which is not technically what he said, but we'll grant them a little grace if they want to play that card.
Yes. Or everything that Zoom has told us thus far is true, and everything doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards options, he's lying.
Yeah. Out of those three options, the only one that makes any modicum of sense
right.
is that he is lying.
Okay, all right, cool. Good speculation on that. I think what Dr. T in the chat said, can I be excused? My head hurts. All right, I tell you what, man. Look, here's what I want to see. Maybe we need to do this after the season. Like, let's get some more information. Let's see where things go, because they could very well explain all of this in the next couple of episodes. But if not, I say we start getting plans together to try to see if we can get Berlanti or Kreisberg on the show and just be like, look, we just want 15 minutes of your time.
No. What I want to do is I want to, like, you know, fly them all expenses paid to an area with like a 30-foot long whiteboard. And I want them just to whiteboard all this out. Here's how time travel works in the Flash universe.
Yeah, go. And then when they write the word convenience on the board, then we have to waterboard them or something. I don't know. Oh man, that'd be...
if we could get Kreisberg on the show,
I'll Berlanti or Kreisberg, either one. That would be great. But honestly, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, we'll ask some fun questions and do the whole full interview thing. But no, we want to sit down and we want to learn about time travel. That's the only thing. And we also, you know, you got some explaining to do with Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, you guys are trying here, right?
So that's the thing, right? The time wraith screws with speedsters.
Lex Mercury, the Helbing twins. That's what we need.
Yes, we need the Helbing twins on the show. They have to be on here.
I'd take the Helbing twins over Kreisberg and Berlanti. I like Kreisberg and Berlanti. But the Helbing twins have been such.
They've written some of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, so we got to get.
I don't even know if they're twins.
I don't want to go after interviews. It's so difficult to work through people's schedules.
Yeah, well.
We need an intern. Maybe we'll put out a call for an intern in between the hiatus. All right. That's speedster speculation. What do you guys think? Was he lying? Is it the reverse of what he said? Was it actually the future self that sacrificed himself for the earlier self's plan to work? You heard what I said. Which one do you think it was? Is that, or is it true and everything that we've come to understand is wrong?
Yeah.
Yes. Let us know.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week. Man, we got some great listener feedback in during the hiatus. Aside from the fact that we got some wonderful iTunes reviews. Hey, by the way, before we even jump into this, head over to iTunes and write us a review, because we need a few more of those. Those are always great, and we like reading them on the show. In fact, let me go ahead and read one right now. DCM2002 on iTunes writes, number one Flash podcast. The hosts consistently provide funny, thoughtful, and professional coverage of the CW show, The Flash. Oh, DCM2002. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We also got on, this is from Facebook, says, hey guys, great show. UK listener here, and I am hooked. Was never into the comics as a kid, but now at 27, and after watching all of the epic TV, I am hooked, and with this podcast, it's even better. You fill in the blank holes in the black holes that fill my head and then make me want to go back and look for more info. I love it. Ha ha ha. So have a thought for you guys. Now, the man in the iron mask is Jay, right? Yes, we think so. So what if Zoom is the split off of Jay instead of burning out, he split because he has the Speed Force. All right. So interesting. So this is kind of going off a theory that we were kind of playing around with what keeps somebody who's using V9 to not, you know, not evaporate.
Because there's clear some Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde stuff going on with trajectory.
Yeah, and by the way, this is from Callum Green. So Callum, thanks so much for sending that in. Interesting thought. I feel like with this episode, I think it's safe to say that that Jay and Hunter Zolomon are definitely two different people. Now that being said, you may be onto something. They're definitely going with a very unique take on the characters. So I'm not going to say it's not possible, because I do think it is possible. I just don't know. But what do you think, Bill?
Yeah, the trajectory episode just keeps popping in my mind, because there's this whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of thing, and she had no Speed Force in her whatsoever. So, I mean, it would be interesting if the Speed Force maybe protected that portion of Jay's mind and just removed the tumor that was Zoom. He can change his eye color, make it all black, and his voice is all, you know, evil and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. It's very, very interesting theory.
Yeah, the eyes taking over with the... Oh, I didn't even think about that. But that eyes, you can't run from the darkness. That was a terrible zoom. But, you know, that when he did that, it seemed like something was taking him over.
Well, yeah, like his eyes turned black. And every time he's in the zoom costume, his eyes are black.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's a real interesting thing to think about because if Zoom wasn't lying and everything that he said was true, then, I mean, maybe that could help explain some of the discrepancies that we were just mentioning.
Could be. We got another email in, this one from Joseph from Greenville, South Carolina. What did Joseph say?
Hey, guys, I'm so happy the hiatus is over. I love this week's episode, and I can't wait to see how this all wraps up. I have a theory regarding Zoom, of course. It occurred to me that I don't think that we've seen Earth 2 Flash, Jay Garrick, outside of Hunter's accounts of the past. So I believe that Zoom is not a double or a twin, but in fact just posing as Jay. To people that don't really know him. Hmm. We were all surprised when we saw how young Jay was. What if it was the man in the iron mask was the real Jay, who is the same age as Hunter's father? Hmm, interesting. He's the one who was trying to purify the hard water, but when Zoom detected him, once he had his powers, he overpowered him and imprisoned him until he could figure out a way to steal his speed. I don't believe he has the innate ability to steal speed since he needed Wells' help to take it from Barry. Sorry for the long message, but I have one more thing. Since Barry generates the Speed Force, I think his powers will return very quickly indeed. I think he's just tapped out for now. Keep up the great work. You're my favorite podcast, and I miss your interactions during the breaks. Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate that. That's really interesting, though. Yeah, we kind of, you know, hit on the same thing there with Barry being attached to the Speed Force and it being kind of like a battery that will recharge. I agree with you on that totally. I think it's really interesting what you're talking about here with the Jay in the Iron Mask being like an older... you know, war veteran Jay, who was in that War of Americas, who was doing the hard water research, who perhaps got his speed through that accident and not the particle accelerator.
Could it
be two separate?
So the only thing is why the Iron Mask? Like it's a cool concept. I did kind of the components of your theory here for sure. The main thing I would say is why the Iron Mask? I feel like the Iron Mask, I mean, maybe it's a red herring, but I mean, tends to kind of lead us towards the belief that, you know, for some reason, Zoom doesn't want whoever is in there, his face being seen.
There is also the idea that the mask clearly prevents the person from speaking. So that's another thing that, you know, that person doesn't want to be seen, or Zoom doesn't want us to see that person, and B, that the mask prevents them from speaking, so they cannot tell anyone who they are without... you know,
the other thing is, you know, the best lie has a bit of truth in it. And when Jay, quote unquote, Jay, who we now know to be Hunter Zolomon, when he was telling Caitlin the story of the Hunter Zolomon of Earth One, he mentions how he was adopted by the Zolomons.
Yeah.
And I feel like all the components are here for Jay and Hunter to be twins separated at birth. And I'm still leaning hard on that theory.
Yeah, me too.
So, but one way or the other, man, great theory. Love it. Love getting those in. Also, last but definitely not least, from Craig Rogoff.
Hey guys, I know you're into gaming and of course love The Flash. So I thought you might enjoy this and might want to share it with listeners because it looks awesome. It's a mod to use the Flash, Reverse Flash, and Zoom in GTA 5. No way.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Cool. Craig, thanks for sending us that, man. I wish I had a PC that I could play Grand Theft Auto 5 on because that mod, oh, that looks super cool. I'm clicking on that link there. That is neat.
That's awesome. Well, you may not have a PC, my friend, but you do have an Xbox, which is good because coming up, man, DCUO will be coming to Xbox Live. Of course, we've got a Twitch channel set up, which is, I believe, twitch.tv/panel-to-screen. So if you want to see Bell doing some streaming as he's gearing up, getting ready for his herodom in the DC Universe Online, check that out. I'll be doing the same. We're gonna try to jump in there quick so we can grab our Brogues characters names immediately.
Yes, yes.
Probably shouldn't put that on a podcast out to thousands of people, but still, don't nobody do that.
And
okay?
They're already gone.
No, no, no. Come on, guys, don't do that. Be cool. But anyway, so yes, so we'll be doing some game streaming in the future here. I believe actually the trailer for the DCUO on Xbox is coming up in about a week or so. I think I saw our friends over there posting that out. So should be really fun. Hey, want to remind you to send in your crazy theories. We love getting those in. Want to encourage you to tell your friends about the show. Look, The Flash is the best thing on television right now. I know that. You know that. We all know that. Okay. We don't have to sit around and pretend like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is worth watching anymore.
It is. What are you talking about?
It was for a while and then it got bad again. Look, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. I kid.
You're wrong.
Look, no. Look, one way or the other, The Flash is better. You may love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but come on, you know The Flash is better. And The Flash is better than most of what's on television right now. So be sure to go out, tell your friends about the awesomeness that is Flash Season 2, and tell them that you're listening to the Flash TV Talk podcast. Encourage them to check us out on iTunes. We're also on the Satchel Podcast Player on your Google Play Store. Look it up, satchelplayer.com. Download the application, be part of the beta, and enjoy the show and do things like tweet into us while you're listening. You can also send us a few dollars if you want to through the Satchel Podcast Player, and that would be pretty cool. We also want to make sure that you are keeping up with us and we are keeping up with you. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at Flash TV Talk. You can also follow our personal accounts. I'm at The Real Bo York. Bell is at Ring That Bell.
And if 140 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
And if you like podcasting, and if you like Legends of Tomorrow, you should check out Legends TV Talk. That's where we get some of the best podcasters in the business to talk about Legends TV Talk in a crazy awesome YouTube video format. So check that out. It's real fun.
You know what? Even if you don't like Legends of Tomorrow, you still might like the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
It is a fun show. So check it out with a great rotating cast of characters there. Special thanks goes out to Charlie Bach for providing our outro music. Be sure once again to review us on iTunes. Every 10 iTunes reviews we get, we give away a free digital comic. We're getting close to giving away a free one. It could be you. So head over there, do that. And hey, you know what? It's the hiatuses are over. So, like, literally, when we say it, we mean it this week. We'll be back in a flash. Okay, can we talk really quick about Jungle Book?
You want to talk about Jungle Book?
Yeah, dude. Sure, oh my gosh! So you did see the movie?
Yeah, it was awful.
Don't you dare!
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It was incredible.
I'll say this though: the songs kind of ruined it for me.
No, those were the best part. Why do you say that?
They really weren't. They killed a lot of the dramatic tale. Like with the necessities, not really.
Okay, so it's Louis, because there was only two songs.
Yeah, Louis, it killed all the dramatic tension for me right there. Like I hearing Christopher Walken sing as a giant orangutan was awesome.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you were complaining about hearing Christopher Walken sing as a giant orangutan. Which, by the way, he was a Arthropicus.
Gigantopithecus.
Gigantopithecus.
Yeah, but I'm not saying like it shouldn't have been in the movie. I think they should have kept it on the credit scene.
They did a different iteration of it for the credit scene. I actually, you know, it's interesting because during the scene when they started playing the music in the background, I thought, what a weird, like, I love that they're giving the throwback here, but it seems tonally wrong for what's going on in the scene. So I'll grant you that.
Yes.
But then the fact that he did start singing actually is what sold it for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love that they're doing this. This might be my favorite movie. This would be my favorite movie of the year, if not for, you know. Wait, did Star Wars come out last year?
No, it came out December, yes.
Yeah, so this, I think this might be my favorite film of the year thus far.
Really?
It's really good. And, like, it manages to hit, like, these emotions. Like, I was never even that huge a fan of The Jungle Book, but this managed to pull me in and make me feel like that movie growing up as a kid like had some sort of major impact on me, which it didn't. But this film, like, just, I don't know, it succeeded in ways that I never anticipated it to. Plus, they took Shere Khan and made him into such a, like, insanely evil, evil bad guy.
Yeah, they did a real good job with him.
The
movie was great. Like, the story was crafted well, like, everything worked. It was fun. It was entertaining. I mean, like, it was, you know, they were like
Lex Mercury in the chat, tailspin for the sequel.
I had heard some people talking about that.
Oh, I mean, it's just internet wanting it to happen, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, it won't. But yeah, you know, I thought it was really good. Like, I just, you know, this Bare Necessities, not so much, but, you know, I Want to Be Like You song kind of killed that scene for me a little bit.
I think you're crazy. I mean, I get it, but I
didn't. I think the movie, like, overall for me, would have been better if there weren't any songs in it.
I think it would have. It would not have been as special to me if not for the songs.
The Jungle Book is a book.
And this was awesome too. I don't know if you caught this, but when they first started the movie, like, that was the opening, like the opening animation to the original cartoon. Did you catch that?
I did. You know, I haven't seen the original cartoon in like 20 years.
Neither have I. That's the other thing. I mean, like, in all fairness, I've got a terrible memory, except when it comes to movies I saw when I was a kid. like for whatever reason, I've got this photographic memory of things I saw 15 years ago in television and movies. Nothing else. Everything else is out one ear and in one ear and out the other. But yeah. No, songs. The songs were amazing.
I'm not saying they were bad. I'm just saying, like, it.
They didn't do the Scarlett Johansson song. They did that at the credits of the ending, and actually they did a more full Bare Necessities during the end credits. Did you sit through the end credits?
I don't know if I sat all the way through them. Was there something at the end?
Yes, Lex Mercury in the chat. Christopher Walken for Solovar in Flash season 3.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That needs to happen. That's it. That's brilliant.
Awesome. Yeah.
I want to be you. I want to walk like you. Talk like on panel to screen. I actually did my Christopher Walken singing the song. I love like that. That's what made it even better for me.
I don't know. Like I felt it sort of like contrasted with the tone of the movie. I didn't feel like it was necessarily needed. Yeah, I get it. You
Kid
know,
did good.
Everybody loves the Jungle Book songs. That's great. But like, I didn't think he had to have them in there. The story is the Rudyard Kipling story.
Well, it's a combination of the main story and then also the short stories he did. In fact, the Law of the Jungle So this is why I feel like the thing succeeded so well. After I got out of the movie, I immediately started like going on Wikipedia and reading as much about the Jungle Book and the sequels and everything else that they did with that film, or the source material, that is. And so like, no, I'm serious. I have no idea.
Did you read the articles talking about how Rudyard Kipling was like a horrible, horrible person and like, or like horrible, you know, imperialist racist or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The connotations and such. Yeah. Let's like, yes. Yeah.
I had to do the same thing. I was like, yeah, we're not going to talk about British imperialism. Okay. Yes, it was bad. It was horrible. It happened. But I want to enjoy a children's movie without having to think about the horrible,
right.
The horrible side effects of British colonialism.
Like it's common grace, man. Despite the horrors that lie in the man's heart and soul, sometimes the artwork surpasses what the the original artist may have intended. But regardless, I read the short stories that came after the Jungle Book. You know, because he did like a series of, I want to say, 6 or 7 short stories, mm-hmm. and one of those was a poem, which was The Law of the Jungle.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's longer than what they actually do in the movie. And it's funny though, but even though they don't recite lines from the Law of the Jungle, that you see it in practice. Like one of the poem or one of the lines in that poem is about, you know, instead of like when all is heated and everybody wants to go to war, let the leaders of each pack sit comfortably and talk it through, or something like that. Basically what you saw in that moment where Shere Khan comes and talks with Mowgli's wolf dad, and they, you know, they kind of take the you know, at ease position. You know what I mean? Shere Khan comes. This is right before Shere Khan kills his wolf dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're sitting there and they're having a conversation, and it's part of the Law of the Jungle. They never actually read out in acting out. I don't know. Favreau does a fantastic job in like diving into the depths of the lore and like putting it in front of you in such a way that he doesn't have to hit you over the head with it. He doesn't have to explain all these little details, and you don't even have to know those little things to catch them. But it's just, I don't know, it's fantastic. I got nothing good but good things to say about it.
I like how Mowgli was like the forest's Jesus. He ascended to heaven with the elephants, because the elephants are their god.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's a good good catch on that one. I did wonder if perhaps they changed the ending, given, like, I wonder if in the original movie, you know, it was supposed to end with Mowgli going off, you know, to the man village. But because they started to realize they had a massive hit on their hands, they changed it so that it would end with him still in the jungle, ripping it wide open for a sequel if they wanted to.
Jungle Book 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Electric Baloo.
There you go. Exactly. All right,
which, man. You know, it was crazy. I was sitting there, like, I knew a bunch of the voice actors. Like, they were in the film, and I was trying to place who was where. And, you know, I heard Baloo. He did a good job suppressing his Bill Murray-isms.
Yeah, no, it was a very different Bill Murray.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that was great. Like, I loved... Ben Kingsley, he was great in it. Idris Elba was fantastic. Mm-hmm, Scarlett Johansson, I mean, they could have probably, like, you know, dropped the budget by a couple million because she only had like 4 lines.
No, but that's the thing, man. Those big names got your attention. The trailer alone was fantastic, but the big names also really pulled you in.
Had they not had any of those big names, I doubt it would have been as successful.
The other thing I want to make mention of, too, is an interesting twist they did on the end of the movie. Because, you know, with him going to get the fire to fight Shere Khan, I thought was interesting because it was kind of carrying on that Joseph Campbell-esque mythology of going after, you know, fighting the villain with the father's sword, right? If you look at fire as kind of man's weapon and him going to the weapon of his father, the same weapon that scarred Shere Khan... It made a lot of sense to me, but in the process, he ends up, you know, wiping out half the forest. And so he ends up having to throw away his father's sword, the destructive nature of, you know, what man can be, so that, and it's not that it was really interesting because in the end, when Shere Khan tells him, like, that was the stupidest thing you could have done. I was kind of like, yes, Shere Khan is correct right there.
yeah. He made a very valid point.
but they, you know, rather than take kind of the pacifist route of like, you know, we can't fight. We must be, you know, we must find another way. It was this interesting new ground because it was, you know, you have, like, this Shere Khan is evil. Like, they bashed you over the head with, like, this tiger is evil, and by the time this movie is over, we're gonna have this little kid kill this tiger. Like, you know what I mean? They sold you on that so that at the end you're like, all right, little boy, go kill that tiger. But the way they ended up doing it was, look, you have to deal with this problem. This is not a problem that's just going to go away. This is not just somebody you can reason with. This is a force of nature that is going to kill you unless you deal with it. But you can't become that force of nature to deal with it. You can't become the villain in order to defeat the villain. There has to be another way, right? So he doesn't go the over destructive force, and he doesn't burn down the entire, well, he does, but he decides not to burn down the entire forest just to kill the villain. He finds another way, and he uses his tools. He doesn't fight him as a beast. He fights him as a man, but doing so not as a, you know, not man in its evil form, but man in its creative form. And so I think, I don't know, there's a lot going on in that film, and I really dug it. And so
yeah, I love that part when Bagheera is like, you know, you can't fight him like a wolf, fight him like a man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there you go.
Well, and it's interesting, I was talking to my wife about this, but after, when it was all, like, there's a big character moment overall, a big pivotal moment in the movie is when Mowgli goes to help the baby elephant, right?
Yeah.
Because he's using his tools in order to do it. And so Baloo and Bagheera both view this, and it's a defining moment for both of those characters, because Baloo realizes that, you know, Mowgli must be in community, whereas Baloo's something of a loner. He recognizes that Mowgli can't just be a loner like him. He has to be in community, and there's value in community. Whereas Bagheera has been saying, don't use your tools. And he realizes, okay, it was man's tools that actually ended up saving this elephant. And so they, you know, that was it's a huge pivotal moment in the entire film. But anyway, I wanted to talk to somebody about it. I'm glad that you saw the movie.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. If any of y'all listening right now have not seen it, you should go see it. It's a real great film. Great for families. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Dr. Steve T, you merely adopted the fire. I was born in it. Well played, sir. Well played. All right, guys. We hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. We will talk to y'all next week with a brand new episode of Flash TV Talk. Thanks so much. Hey, by the way, head over to iTunes and write us a review. I think most of y'all have, if not all of you. So if you have not, now's a good time to do it. Thanks, guys.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.